What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we are doing an episode all about empathy.
Also, very sorry for anybody tuning in on YouTube, because I am recording this from my closet, so you can really thank the closet for the serial killer-esque lighting in here. But because we just moved, my office is so echoey, and I just didn't want to do that to you guys if you're tuning in, you know, if you're listening. I know how that can be kind of annoying.
That is a lighting setting called There Are Bodies in the Basement.
Exactly. I'm doing this for you guys, okay? I am sacrificing my own airflow and beauty lighting so the quality is a bit better for you.
Because, you know, that's what we prioritize. We prioritize your guys' ears. Your eyes come second, you know? We try to throw a little makeup on so that YouTube is acceptable, but mostly you get your guys' ears. Yeah. And speaking of Patreon, let's give a shout out to our Type A Plus patrons, Abby, Archangel, Chris, Brandon, Jonathan, Perry, Linda, and Milton. You guys are like the top of the top, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so freaking much. Everybody on Patreon makes this show possible. You guys help us run the show, literally.
Yeah, and those are the top tier, creme de la creme, helping us the most. We appreciate it so much. Thank you. I hope you feel us giving you a big warm hug through the headphones.
My closet.
Yeah, from your killer closet. We've got a couple announcements before we get into the main episode. Still on tour, been hoping that it's just been great so far. We're recording so far in advance lately that it's August as we're recording, but this comes out September 20th. So this weekend, I'm so excited. I'm at Moon Tower Comedy Festival for the first time in Austin, Texas, 22nd through the 25th, baby. And then DC, we're doing it. I know this weekend has been rescheduled like two different times, but DC Comedy Loft next weekend, September 30th through October 2nd. October 13th through 16th, San Francisco at Punchline. October 29th through 30th, West Palm Beach Improv. November 4th through 6th, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Dr. Grins. November 16th through 17th, Naples, Florida. November 26th through 28th, Sacramento, Punchline there. And then more dates being added all the time. By the time this comes out, I'm sure there will be even more. So kelseycook.com for your tickets, and go to ttomcomedy.com to get Taylor's tour tickets. She's in theaters. She's kicking ass. Go get some tickets and see us on the road.
Yeah. Get some tickets, bring some friends, have some drinks, have some laughs.
going to be a great
time. Meet up
time.
With other self-helpless listeners. Meet up with other helpers.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Oh yeah, it's so nice when they go to shows together.
That's
and
my
everything.
Favorite.
What a nice feeling.
It's pretty cool.
So like
it's
having family cool. on the road with you when they come up
it
after
is.
A show.
The, yeah. If like when the host asks me what credits they want me to say as they introduce me, I always say one of the hosts of Self Helpless Podcast, because then when the host goes out and says that, there's usually some woos at that like particular, and then that lets me know that you guys are in the crowd.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's
really
so smart.
Does. Yeah, it does feel like there's like a part of your family out in the crowd. It's a nice feeling. Yeah.
That's so nice. That's awesome. Let's see. Season 3 of Aficionado Podcast is about to begin. So thanks to everybody who voted on the episodes and submitted and all that. We're going to announce the official lineup on the first episode of season 3. And then there is a little worksheet, what I like to call the side piece, that goes along with each episode of the podcast. And I have been getting questions. When you sign up to receive those sheets, you do get access to the entire Aficionado resource vault at once. So yes, not only for that specific episode, but you get the whole shebang. So yeah. Aficionado the podcast, if you are a service provider who is looking for an alternative approach to entrepreneurship. And everything else is on my website, delaneyfisher.com, for business simplicity coaching information.
Awesome. And speaking of Taylor, guess who is going to be coming back on the pod for a few episodes coming up, guys?
Yes.
Taylor's going to come back and do some special episodes with us. So,
yes,
just, you know, keep your eyes open for the news feed every Monday. You know, we've always giving you a new episode every Monday, and we've got some fun topics to talk about with Taylor when she's back on for a few episodes. So,
and this is a big celebration for our 4-year anniversary. I know we celebrated this in June, technically a little bit, but we heard all the submissions of who do you want as a special guest on the show for our 4-year anniversary, and they're like, bring Taylor back for an episode. So that's what we are doing.
Yes. So we're very excited. We have a quotable. Del, would you like to read the quotable?
Yes. The quotable is, healing happens at the speed of healing. You can't rush it or schedule the end. You can only do your best to facilitate healing and get there when you get there. Such a good reminder. This was submitted by Sean Middleton, one of our wonderful helpsters over at Patreon.
Wrote this himself.
Oh, wait, he wrote this himself. Oh, my gosh. I was like, who wrote this quote? Oh, my gosh, Sean. Excellent job.
Whoa.
Excellent
mic drop.
Job.
I love that. My gosh, I feel like everybody needs to hear this quotable at some point in their life.
Yeah, that first sentence is such a good nugget that's going to stick with me. Healing happens at the speed of healing. It's its own fucking genre. It's its own thing.
My favorite part of it is you can't schedule the end. I mean, how often have you been in a time of grieving or healing and been like, ugh, isn't it done yet? And it's like, there's no exact time frame, right? Like,
right.
It's different for everybody in every situation. And I just love that.
Oh my gosh. What a good idea to submit your own quote. Like, if you go to Patreon, we obviously ask for your quotables that get on the show. Write your own fucking quote.
Yeah.
I am
into it. Thank you, Sean. Thanks, Sean. And, you know, like we mentioned before, if you want to submit quotables to us, patreon.com/selfhelpless. Get in there.
We love a good quotable. We really love a good quotable.
So today, we're talking about empathy. It's something we discuss often, and you guys wanted some more of it. So this is the definition of empathy from Psychology Today, because we're going to be trying to understand it. We're going to be talking about empathy versus sympathy versus compassion, ways to be more empathetic, all that good stuff. So the definition from Psychology Today is the ability to understand, recognize, and share the feelings of another. Mm. So we talk, you know, I've talked about people being empaths, people who can really, really feel the feelings of another person.
Yeah.
And then looking at empathy versus sympathy versus compassion. This is also from Psychology Today. So they're often, those words are used interchangeably a lot of the time, but they are not technically the same. Sympathy is a feeling of concern for someone else and a desire that they become happier or better off. Empathy involves sharing the other person's emotions. And then compassion is an empathetic understanding of a person's feelings accompanied by altruism or a desire to act on that person's behalf.
Mm.
Interesting. I knew that sympathy and empathy are different, but empathy and compassion I've definitely lumped in together.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. I'm curious to know, and maybe it'll get into this on the episode, but if being empathetic is ever a detriment, you know, to where you're just absorbing so many feelings and emotions all the time that it can be really hard to sift through, like, what are yours and what are somebody else's, and like not feel drained all the time. Cause I know we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of the positives and stuff as well, but yes. And there are three types of empathy, which I did not realize. So renowned psychologists Daniel Goleman and Paul Ekman have identified three components of empathy. First one is cognitive, simply knowing how the other person feels and what they might be thinking, sometimes called perspective taking. Imagine yourself in someone's shoes, maybe someone who is struggling with debt and paying for their meal, that kind of thing. Yeah, this is something where I feel like if you can like read the room, this kind of makes sense for this one, don't you think, Kels?
Yeah, totally.
Or it's like you've been in a group of people and you can just tell like, oh, that person felt jealous about what that other person just said, and you can see it. Or feel it on their face. Mm-hmm. The second type of empathy is emotional, when you feel physically along with the other person as though their emotions were contagious. So successfully understanding what your friend is feeling and putting yourself in a similar emotional space. This type of empathy can also extend to physical sensations, which is why we cringe when someone else stubs their toe. Oh, that's a good analogy. Yes.
Yeah.
In this case, you would look inwards to identify a situation where you were similarly anxious about the future. The situation itself need not be identical, as each individual is different. What's important is that the emotions resulting from the situation are the same.
Oh, yes. I feel like you are, you're the person I think of, honestly, in my life when I think of emotional empathy, because think about how often, whether it's on this show or just in our real lives talking to one another, if I'm going through a hard time, you will like tear up.
Yes.
Like you're my friend that is like, I'm sorry, I'm crying too. Like you feel it so hard that it also can like make you feel those feelings.
Yes. I would say this, I definitely resonate. I mean, I feel like the perspective one too, but I definitely resonate a lot with this where I just can't help it. It's like somebody tells me something and I am immediately not, I can't obviously put myself in that exact place, but I think also just hearing the emotion in somebody's voice too really, really gets me. And then the third one, compassionate. Yeah. With this kind of empathy, we not only understand a person's predicament and feel with them, but are spontaneously moved to help if needed. It is the balance between cognitive and emotional empathy that enables us to act without being overcome with feeling or jumping straight into a problem-solving process.
Okay.
Okay. So that one is like you kind of feel called to action.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have the, like the perspective, like reading the room, feeling like you're experiencing the emotions with the person and kind of being called to do something.
Sure. Yeah.
So interesting. And I'm assuming you can experience all three.
Yeah. I think so.
It resonates.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Are there any particular examples that you feel from your life of you feeling these sort of ways or acting on them?
Yeah. So honestly, like, I mean, like you said, Kels, like I really have a hard time sometimes separating from what somebody else is going through. And so, you know, Cam and I will be like in a room with somebody sharing a story, and he will look like he's very unaffected by the story. And I'm like, you know, on the verge of tears, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or like talking to somebody, I'm like, I don't, and not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but I really, it will affect the rest of my evening or my day.
Right.
And sometimes I've even felt like physically ill after, like, you know, being around somebody who's going through a hard time, whatever it is, because I just, my body is feeling whatever, you know, kind of emotion they might be feeling or some kind of it.
Right.
So yeah, it's a big reason why I only watch comedies. Like I don't watch scary movies. I don't watch really sad shit. I just can't.
it will
affect my day or my week where, you know, Cam can watch anything and be like, okay, cool. You want to go out to dinner and do this thing? Yeah. But yeah, any specific examples with you, Kels, with all these types?
Yeah. Things with animals get me really hard in a way that it's like, I cannot be exposed to it. If I start to see a video clip online or anything like that, I have to get out of it immediately, because anytime I've accidentally seen something, I am done for the day. Mm-hmm. And it often affects me even longer than that. But, ooh, I just can't handle it. I know I've shared a story on here before about seeing a pet store in New York, and the puppies in the window, just like, they looked sick. And I walked in and there were kittens in cages, and the guy behind the counter just felt so evil to me and just got such a bad vibe from him. I hated the way he was handling the animals themselves. And I was in tears on the subway. I went to the police precinct. I like made all these phone calls, and I kept going until they were like taking action. They went and they did like an undercover, I think, like walkthrough or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it got to a point where I was like, I mean, this is going to take over my life if I don't try to pull back a little bit and tell myself, like, you did everything you could. You have to continue to do your job and, like, do these other things. But it really does take over for me if I'm exposed to seeing animals treated in a way that they shouldn't be. That's, like, a really, really hard one for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Actually, a lot of when I've met like other vegans and stuff, people are really surprised that I haven't watched things like Earthlings or Dominion or anything else along the lines where you're seeing behind the scenes of animal agricultural and fur trade and everything like that. And I'm like, you know, I heard enough about it, and I did some of the other stuff that felt a little bit lighter. Like I watched Game Changers and, you know, those types of things. And that did it for me. And I don't want to subject myself to that, because it's really just going to make me feel helpless. Like I already did the thing that, you know, this is encouraging people to do. I don't need to traumatize myself more.
Sure. And you're doing the thing. You don't need any. Yeah. You don't need any more.
Dude. And I was like, I mean, for about a year after going vegan, I was really struggling. Like I had trouble sleeping. I mean, with Cam, like he's not vegan and I am. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we have the same type of stuff. We have different things in the fridge and all that.
Yeah.
And I had a hard time picking things up at the store that I used to for him, because I would break down into tears in the fucking grocery aisle. So I had basically said, can you, this is not me trying to be stingy with my money or anything like that, but do you mind buying those things for yourself and cooking those things for yourself? And I, of course, will get all the options, all the vegan options that you like, no problem. But it's physically making me upset. Like it's making me ill. And he was fine with it. And now, you know, there's been some time that's passed and it still stings a little bit, but I'm able to pick stuff up like that if he really wants me to. But I really couldn't in the beginning. It was too fresh. And although it doesn't feel like I want to be doing those things, it won't make me cry in the grocery store anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I totally understand about the animal aspect for sure.
How do you do when he's like cooking meat in front of you or eating meat in front of you?
I'm fine with it. Like, I mean, I've honestly, I just don't really think about it anymore. Cause now it's been a total of 3 years I've been doing this, but this, mm-hmm. the time that I actually went vegan, it's been over 2 years now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't affect me as much anymore because, yeah. you know, you just have like a new normal and I'm around mostly people who are not vegan. So I had to like, you know, cope with that.
Right.
But I had a hard time and this might be making me sound like a total douche, but I had a really hard time eating at tables where meat was being served. I couldn't watch any cooking shows. I was having a really hard time because all I was seeing was like the meal and immediately thinking about where it came from, seeing images that I've seen, and I couldn't separate it. And I don't want to like push that down in myself because it's obviously there for a reason, you know?
Right.
And it has inspired me to take a lot of action with like, you know, where I put money and stuff like that. But it can be hard to just get through your fucking day when you are feeling that consistently.
Totally. Totally.
So it's like, how do you care? But also.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff on hold, you know?
Well, yeah, that's how I felt about the pet store thing where it's like, it's hard for me to feel less or care less. And yet I also have to come to a point where I'm like, look, you're doing as much as you can do. However, like, unless you want this to be your full-time job as being like an activist for shutting pet stores down and all this stuff, you're probably going to have to at some point go, I did what I could do.
And right. Find that balance.
Find the balance.
That
yeah.
happy medium. Absolutely. And it's like, you know, in the beginning, I used to feel really embarrassed about caring about the environment and animals and collective human health and all that. And I would kind of hide it. I don't feel embarrassed about it anymore. I just don't like really talking about it. Yeah. I try to avoid it altogether.
Yeah, sure. This is from the New York Times. Ways to be more empathetic. We all live in our own bubbles with like-minded individuals around us who have similar standards, beliefs, and education like us. This results in empathy deficit. Research has shown that empathy makes people better managers and workers and better family members and friends. So you can practice empathy by talking to new people, trying out someone else's life, join forces for a shared cause, stuff like that. Admit you're biased, know your privilege, learn from those who are different from you. Stand up for others. Silence kills again. Put yourself in their shoes. Amplify other voices. Raise empathetic kids. Teach them to fight stereotypes. Tell them about the harsh realities by letting them know what they should be grateful for and why. Maybe things they have that others don't. And teach them about bias. And have hard conversations. Listen to actually understand other people. Be open to changing your mind. Ask open-ended questions. So those might seem real basic, but sometimes it's a good reminder to go, like maybe on a day-to-day basis, I am surrounded by people that are just kind of mirroring what my own life is, and I'm not getting a full perspective on other shit that's going on. Because sometimes it's like a lot of us – I include myself, you don't necessarily want to look at all of the news and all of the shit that's going to make you want to cry and feel terrible, but that also can keep you in your little bubble and not have you stepping out and thinking, what more can I be doing? So I'm saying this as somebody who also avoids things that make me sad.
Exactly. That's another thing I don't watch. Don't watch the news. I'm not to say I don't stay informed. I stay informed in other ways. But that's something where I'm like, oh, if I want to just feel like absolute fucking shit, I'll watch the news, you know?
Yeah. Yup.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm so curious. I would love to have somebody on to talk about like the relationship between probably like empathy and codependency in a way where it's like, when does it become not, you know, unhealthy, or when does it become an issue of like, if you are really experiencing somebody's emotions regularly or something, or you're having a hard time separating or going about your day, like how to, I don't know, like protect your energy or know when to take breaks or all of that kind of stuff. I know that for me, like I feel like my empathy, it's, you know, it's a positive for the most part, you know, but yeah. Like it has made some of my day-to-day a little tough with certain things, but it's also, I feel like, impaired my judgment with yeah. people. Like when I hear somebody's, you know, if somebody's telling about the traumatic experience or their past or something, that's kind of all I see when I look at them. And I feel empathy no matter what they're going through, even if the actions or behaviors are toxic or destructive or harmful to themselves, to others, to myself. And I think that would be interesting to get into of like, how do you have the empathy, but also how do you not let it impair your best judgment with.
Right. Not give people too many get out of jail free cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. how to recognize when empathy might be being used as like a manipulation tactic in a way as well.
So tough. I find that, I think that's hard for a lot of people to navigate, whether it's in romantic relationships or friendships or family relationships. Let's say romantic relationships, for example, like I used to say on my album, the joke on my album, everybody's got a bag of shit, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a bag of shit. I got a bag of shit. Everybody's got a bag of shit. But you're always, when you're entering a new relationship, you're like, okay, but how big is this person's bag of shit, right? Like, is the, what kind of things are in here? And what's the difference between going, okay, everybody's going to have some faults and nobody's perfect, versus like, these are major issues that are causing me harm or making it so like I'm not being treated right? Where, like, how much empathy do you give something, right?
Right.
And that's hard. Exactly. That's hard to navigate.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah. And when do you know if somebody might be trying to evoke empathy because there's some kind of ulterior motive? Like it doesn't take a fucking rocket scientist to know like what makes me tick, you know, like, you know, you tell me your story and I want to help and I want to do something. And I've had to really be a lot more mindful about that stuff.
You and I have talked about the idea that, yeah, of course, nobody's perfect and people make mistakes, but that a big thing for us is like repeated patterns, repeated mistakes. Because if somebody makes a mistake and you have an open discussion with them and tell them, hey, this isn't okay with me, this is a violation for me of my boundaries or whatever, this hurt me, and then they continue to do that, that's when something can become like, hey, if I continue to let this happen over and over, maybe I'm using too much empathy here.
Right.
And now it's becoming negative for me.
Yes.
Whereas we can't expect people to not make mistakes, but the difference is like, did they make the mistake? You talked about it, and then you're watching them take actual steps toward not doing that again, like actions over words.
Right. It's like, when do you practice distant empathy? Where it's like, look, I'm empathetic, but from way over the fucking ear.
You know? Waving, hey. Best of luck. Yeah.
Because I think in the past, it's I've happily trampled all over my boundaries because of the feeling of empathy. And so now I'm like, I have to really catch myself when I'm feeling empathetic, because I'm like, wait, listen, you are very susceptible to doing crazy, you know, weird shit
when you're feeling empathetic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
absolutely.
That'd be a good one to get an expert on to talk about that.
For sure.
Awesome.
Well, gosh, I mean, I liked talking about this with you. I feel like it's something that we'll continue to talk about in future episodes, but
yeah, if anybody tuning in right now is like an empathy expert in some way, shape or form, feel free to write into the show. And perhaps we can have you on at some point. Like if this is related to your work or profession or story, that would be fascinating.
Definitely. We have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Claire N123. Finally caught up. I found this podcast at the start of quarantine and decided to listen to all of it. Oh, thank you so much. We're at like 227 episodes or something now. It's insane.
It's like 4 years worth of episodes in a
year. That's a lot of hours. I'm finally caught up and it's wonderful. I'm excited for Taylor to come back intermittently, but I'm so happy she's doing what she needs and that she and Kelsey get to start full-blown tours. Oh, yes. Thank you. And I can't wait for Delaney to end up in her commune. Oh my God. You guys are clearly more than crawling in the direction of your dreams with 5 cookie emojis. Oh. Claire, I'm reaching through and giving you a hug. That is such a sweet review. My God, I love it.
It's so nice. Oh. I just feel so seen when the reviews are like, they you can tell they really know you.
Yes. What a great, we have a great community. So you guys,
thank you.
If you want us to read, thank you, Claire. If you want us to read your review, go hop on iTunes and say something cool and we will read it on the show. Click the 5th star. It just helps the show so much. So you have a segment, Del? I've got one too.
Oh my God. You know what's so funny? I know we just recorded with Dr. Sarkis about adult ADHD. And she was talking about how like sometimes you can look back into your ancestral records and like see things, but it's so funny.
Sure.
One of my cousins recently sent me that one of our ancestors was like left on a boat from somewhere. Like they found a letter. And the letter was basically him writing home to his mom, I believe, saying that he was unhappy with his office job and he felt very low spirited and anxious and nervous. And he just had to get the hell out of town and do what he wanted to do. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so fascinating because I feel like there's this drive in me that made me want to be an entrepreneur. And I don't know where it came from. It just felt like this internal innate thing. And it's interesting to look back at my ancestors.
Gosh.
Oh, somebody else was feeling that shit too. Like they just couldn't
do
the office job thing. They had to get the fucking hell out of Dodge.
It's in your blood.
It's in my blood. I thought that was really interesting. And it's funny because Dr. Sarkis just kind of brought that up. And it reminded me of that letter that I recently saw.
Dude, that is
weird, right?
Wild.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. Oh, wow. What about you, Kels? What you got?
Well, speaking of, you're saying like you can't watch sad shows and I am the same, but I do. Ooh, it's like a little bit of a self sabotage thing because I know it's going to make me feel bad afterward, but I do love a good like murder thriller show, even if it's fictional. So I know I'm behind on this, but I just binged Mayor of Easttown on HBO.
Yes, I saw that.
Did you watch it? Okay.
Yes.
God, so good.
Yeah,
holy
really good.
Shit. The layers. Oh my God. I'm so impressed by people who can write a show like that. Cause I'm just like, man, the jigsaw puzzle that you guys put together to make this show. It's fantastic. So if you're somebody that likes those sort of thriller shows, I know I talked before about how amazing I thought the show The Undoing was, mm-hmm. With Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. Thank you.
You got it.
The Outsider, all those shows like that are so good. I've been told I should watch Sharp Objects as well. I haven't seen Sharp Objects, but I know that's kind of the same genre.
Yeah, I started
Amy Adams.
That. Yeah, I started it. I don't think I continued.
Anyway, if you're looking for just a good binger, Mare of Easttown, Kate Winslet is unbelievable.
So good. Yes, that's actually, it's interesting because I don't mind shows like that that are more focused on the solving a mystery. It's like it's like really gory and really scary and that freaks me out. But
for sure.
That's a good one. Oh, and I watched the Jigsaw bit that you mentioned from
Daniel Sloss?
Yes. I didn't watch the full special. I just watched the bit about the relationship stuff. It was a very, very good analogy, and I can see why it made people think and perhaps led to a lot of ending of relationships.
Yeah. It's a powerful one for sure.
Yeah. Good.
We hope you guys are doing great and staying safe out there. We love you, and we will talk to you next week.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you.